Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Wagos. Games, women in pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado? Or better yet, the lava from the volcano. They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super negro.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super negro.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to Power Hour, the Lost 144K. I'm Captain Yahshua, coming in right after that rough cut. he was like, shut up, brother. Click.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Parion.
Shalom, Officer Benji.
Officer, shalom.
We have Officer Benji from IYC CTAC.
Yes, sir.
Great Northwest.
Great Northwest. We're great. We're great. Hey, how come I don't see us on the screen on the live?
Transition.
Yeah, people hear us but not see us.
Is
that what's happening?
It's
right there. Did you pull on the mics? All right. Okay. I want to sincerely apologize. Last week, our difficulties were so extreme. It got past the hour that we would be able to broadcast, and I didn't want to do a condensed show again. We're kind of close to that now. We're going to commit to making sure that we have this stuff better, and we're not going to let that affect the show. So even if I'm just sitting here by myself,
right?
We're gonna get the show on. All right. So, our apologies. We're going to do better. All right. So we had to cancel last week due to technical difficulties, and we almost got near that mark again today.
I wasn't going to let it happen, Cap. I wasn't going
to
let that happen.
Well, only 10 minutes off from the cutoff is for us to actually do the show, and it's going to affect everything else for the rest of the day. So still not good, but I wasn't going to cancel 2 weeks in a row. So
yes,
hopefully I could be in the spirit, get back to the. You know, stuff like this gets you out the spirit. It's like when you don't read right.
Right.
You know, it's like you're ready to go. I mean, that, I don't know. It might not even come out the same today. Well, I wanted to go over. Last week I was ready.
Right.
I was feeling good this week, and I don't know.
So we'll get a cap.
We'll see. I got some ideas of how we're going to get it. But I'll talk about it off the air. Please bear with us. The thing is that we're trying to create backups for we don't want to rely on one brother, and we have the producer here who's actually joining us on the show. It's that guy in that corner right there. That's Officer Shia, and he's been training someone else, and the guy's a trainee, so there's some issues. All right. So he's gonna commit to being better and not try to do everything off his memory. Let's see, no notebook for any of the stuff that he's learning. Nothing. No.
But as long
no
as his pants are, you would think he would even have notes in there.
No.
Daddy long pants.
Be like, I'm good.
It's
like the brother that had the photographic memory.
Oh, yeah. I don't need to take notes.
I don't need to take notes. Damn. I'm good. I'm savvy.
So, the older you get, the more note you
You're right. You're right. The brain don't work the same. Don't consolidate info the same.
I can
nothing.
Tell you that.
Yeah. Hey, can you share the blog talk to Facebook so that then I can share that over the thing? So I already shared the broadcast to the various pages.
Scroll down.
So, right on the blog talk page, you hit the Facebook link. right in the description. It'll pop up. It'll say share to a page. Share it to the native show. Yeah, help them out there with that so then I could go ahead and share that. this week, I'm going to continue to go to the agent socialization. Last time we did the show, because being late, we had to condense it to a 45-minute show. And we couldn't really get into the meat and potatoes of what we wanted to. And we've been leading it off with the American Indian boarding schools around the impact that that had. Because the American Indian boarding schools never went away. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to expound on that. In the form of them being exclusively for Native Americans, yes, they're not around the way they used to be. But as far as the school system is concerned and how the curriculum is taught and structured, what they essentially did was just folded those same principles, those same concepts, into what you have as the modern-day school system today. And the issue with this is that we must educate our children. We must send them to schools. We do have things in play. IUIC has been, it's a long road. It's been something that's been brewing for years. And we're close where we're going to launch our own homeschooling initiative where we're going to meet the requirements of the curriculum that, you know, the government wants us to meet. But we're going to be able to do it from a perspective of being an Israelite, and that's going to be part of the curriculum, and you know, be able to have our kids in that type of environment, very much how Jewish people have their yeshivas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they those yeshivas, they teach them all the Jewish faith, and then they also go over basic stuff like that. You know, they'll go over your sociology, they'll go over your world history and U.S. history and all that other stuff. So it'll be an accredited program. It'll be an accredited program. And laws will life last. If it be the Lord's will, maybe we'll actually be able to get to where we have the physical school.
Right.
Be able to have that for people and everything. Just like, again, just like, I mean, listen, it's doable because Amalek done it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Now, obviously, they've had certain advantages as far as, you know, wealth and income to be able to do certain things. And it's really our biggest hurdle. If not, we do it. We put it in play and we keep going. So we're starting with the homeschool initiative, right? It's like a cooperative where there will be some kind of hands-on or whatever. But we've got to see who's going to support it, right? Because everybody's talking about, I want to get my kids out of the school system. It's going to have to be tuition-based. But I think we've made it very low where we just want to cover our expenses, right? It's non-profit. We're not trying to make no offering the school, but it's going to fill in, right, for Israel. But I say all that to say we can't escape it unless we do things like that. So the school system, and even in the curriculum that they required, is always going to be a measure of that. It's part of what sociologists call socialization. And I'm going to read that really quick here in this book. So this is a textbook that I had from a sociology class.
Want to show it?
And, yeah, so it's by Richard T. Safer, Sociology, A Brief Introduction. All right. This is the 9th edition. You know how they do you with textbooks. They'll put a few refreshers in there and then give you – they're probably on the 15th or 20th edition.
Yeah, they'll go back and they'll be like, no, they're learning too much.
And then like a book like this is like $100 or something like that. So don't even get me started on that. Those of you who went to college, you know what the freaking burden that is with textbooks and stuff like that. They knock you over the head, man.
Hmm.
Right? So – socialization in the life course, and we're going to read about this real briefly, right? So real briefly, it says, sociologists in general are interested in the patterns of behavior and attitudes that emerge throughout the life course, from infancy to old age. Esau is a diligent search, scripture tells you, right? Daniel brings that out, and he tells you that, you know, they do it because it's important to them to maintain their present kingdom, to maintain their rulership,
their preeminence,
right, to maintain their seat, their seen as God, so that they can keep the status quo, so that the foundations of the earth can continue to remain out of course. So it says, these patterns are part of the lifelong process of socialization in which people learn the attitudes, values, and behaviors appropriate for members of a particular culture. So they basically are creating what they want from society based on the society. So the key word here is appropriate behavior. So what they deem appropriate, and this is why it says for members of a particular culture. So they're looking at it from a particular culture. Socialization occurs through human interactions that begin in infancy and continue through retirement. So it starts first at home. And we speak about this heavily when we go over our biblical topics and the family structure, which we recently did some classes talking about that and why it's so important that the family unit, the divine order that the Most High has set, which is God, Christ, man,
right.
woman, right, then the children there are established, because that teaches us the appropriate behavior that's acceptable for God's kingdom.
Hmm.
And it's important that we remember that when we're raising our children, not only are we raising them for this present world, but we also have the dual challenge of raising them for the kingdom as well.
Like you said, a kingdom-minded.
Kingdom-minded, exactly. So we must be kingdom-minded, and that's a constant thing that we must do. So it's a slippery slope that we walk because, like the scripture says, we're in this world, but not of this world.
Right.
And meaning that there's greater promise, there's a more heavenly kingdom that's come, and we have to be able to function in both effectively. So a lot of times it starts with what we're doing with our kids and the role that we play. And let me tell you something, whether you're actively engaged with their development or not, they're learning something from you. And if you don't be the one to give them that information, Esau will surely socialize them for you. So what we need to do is we're socializing them on two fronts. We're socializing them biblically,
right?
Preparing them for the government under Christ, right? Because this is known as governor, right? Government rests on his shoulders. And also be upstanding citizens. And this is a kingdom that's of God too,
right?
Regardless of its shortcomings, right? So it says socialization also shapes our self-images. And this is where we have that challenge that we face, because appropriate behavior for this society is the European garb and dress and all those different standards that they put out through media. Media is an agent of socialization, which we will cover in a topic on the show as well. Like I said, we're starting with the school system now, but we'll eventually go through each measure of socialization that's put in place. Mm-hmm. And governments know this, and this is how they form and structure their governments. This is why they have the programs that they do. It's not out of the kindness of their heart that a government's going to spend money on a program. That's all right. Cool. It's always to maintain, establish, or push forward even more the status quo.
Yeah, because what better way, right, to infiltrate the minds of Israel,
right,
than through the school system, right? Because you're leading the whole way of what's input into their minds, you know. So that's a diligent search. That's crafty counsel.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, one of the ways to do that is, you know, they'll claim to be inclusive and you have your human rights, but they'll make sure they celebrate every dominant worldly holiday. They're not celebrating Jewish holidays in schools, mm-hmm. but they'll celebrate Valentine. They'll have the Christmas party. They'll do Halloween for dress up. They'll make kids make cards for Mother's Day and Father's Day and all that stuff.
That's getting
and that's socializing them, because even if you try to shelter them from that, they're exposing it to them there. So I have to go painstakingly through, and we maneuver that. Like we go into the school system. How many days can she be absent and it not affect her moving forward? Right? And I know our school district, I think it's 18. After 18, they start to get on you and you can get in trouble with the phone and everything like that. So, you know, we have to pick and choose, right? I mean, we try to keep our whole new moons if we can and everything, but then some years, the way the holy days fall, we might go over that 18. And then we also got to keep a buffer for sick days and things like that. But we basically pull her out on those days that they're doing so. So, no winter party, no Halloween party, you're staying home.
Right, pull them out.
You're not going to school on Passover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to school on the days that on Day of Atonement, you're staying home.
But pull them out. But as a parent, it's your responsibility to make sure they still get the work that they covered
right,
in the class that
right,
day.
Right.
So that doesn't mean, because again, you know, you want to make sure that they're still keeping abreast with the curriculum.
And be blameless.
Yes.
And this is what we do. So, you know, it's never been an issue with our daughter up until this point, because you know, she'll do the assignments. Like, they can't say that she's not doing the work and she's not falling behind in class.
No, she's
right?
getting honors, you know. I mean, she's
doing great
in school.
Yeah,
you
my
know?
Daughter's having to do fantastic.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. every quarter, she's getting, like, top honors.
So it can be done.
The point is it can be done.
But you got to be an integral part in it as a parent.
And that's my next point. So as parents, this is where it says it helps shape our self-images. You know, we're very involved with making sure that she is on top of her curriculum, and she is that. Not because we believe that's the only way to succeed in this world, but, you know, we have to let our light shine even to the other nations about there.
Our forefathers were high in status in world governments and in the fear of the Lord as well.
Right. You look at nations like Elam, right? The East Indians. They take a lot of pride in academics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to them, you know, just like it was important to us throughout history. You know, that's why Solomon, all praises to the Most High, they say he was wiser than any man on earth, including the Egyptians. Right. He was learned, you know?
Right. So, let me just make sure where, did you want something? I saw you looking at stuff.
No, I was looking at, I got my kid. Mother with 7 kids.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can bring that out if you want to bring it out and break it down. But I want us to also get the one where it talks about he's made man upright.
It's Ecclesiastes 7:29.
Yeah. So get that ready, because I want to read about what they say about the self and socialization, because it's good, but it's not exactly what they say, right? So it says, we all have various perceptions, feelings, and beliefs about who we are and what we are like. And this is true, right? And if you let the socialization of this present world dictate that, this is where you get those confusion of faces, right? This is where we were running around as Mexicans, Jamaicans, Puerto Ricans, African-Americans, so on and so forth, to these latter days where it's even worse, where people are confused about if they're a man or a woman, regardless of what their anatomy, their hormonal structure, and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just breast and a vagina that makes you a woman. You have inner parts that are different than a man.
Right.
You know what? On that same point, Cap, okay, reason why you have that confusion of am I a man or a woman is because, going back to education, they already indoctrinating you at a very young age that you can choose your gender, that it's okay to be affectionate with another a boy.
They're
socializing
them for appropriate behavior for this particular society.
Right.
That's the scientific term that they're using.
Because the scripture you're going to bring out is going to prove that we're correct.
Right. So and understand, this is all part of their crafty counsel. Their crafty counsel was not just religion, was not just, I mean, this thing, it's probably, I know, I'm not even going to say probably, it's unequivocally the biggest conspiracy that the world has ever experienced.
The greatest story never told.
Right.
But you were saying, it reminds me of before the truth, I used to look at these conspiracy theories about the MK Ultra, the mind control Ultra,
mm-hmm.
and it's the school system, and it's media,
mm-hmm.
right? TV,
sports,
mm-hmm.
church. That's a form of it.
All
absolutely.
These things. No, I'm telling you, it's definitely in here. So, and I know some of us are aware of it in different forms, shapes, or fashion, but it's very interesting to read it from the perspective of how they structure it and word it, because it gives you insight into the depths of their wickedness and how they put things forth, right? So it says, how do we come to develop them, and do they change as we age? We were not born with these understandings. Now, this is where these next few lines is where I have a little bit of an issue with, because biblically the scripture tells us that that he's made man upright. So to some extent, we are born and molded, I'm talking about Israelites, to be what we are. Just like the other nations are set up to be what they are. It's in their nature. Ishmael is a wild man. That's just what it is, right? So it's not that he was taught that. It is fortified by the way they are socialized in the Middle East and things like that, and the way radical Islam is brought to them. And as I say radical Islam, because, I mean, even though religions are garbage, but, you know, you might have people that'll come on, you know, we got to be careful with the show. They're going to, oh, you're generalizing or whatever. They might censor things and cut us off. But radical Islam is a form of socialization to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Esau rules by the sword, right? I mean, that's just his way, right? And he's bloody and violent in how he operates.
Moab's
right?
a washpot. That's
Moab's
we
a washpot.
Coronavirus.
Right. Yeah, now we have the coronavirus,
Corona.
Right? Because they're eating all manner of unclean food, right? Like snakes and bats and things like that. And the viruses are mutating in them, and now we might have an epidemic with this, pandemic with this virus stuff, right? But he says we were not born with these understandings. And then he says that our concept of who we are, the self, emerges as we interact with others. So I would say this is partially true. We are not born with the understandings of what we're supposed to do in the law, how we're supposed to be. But there is something in us that steers us towards good or evil, right? And so read the scripture here, because we read the scripture here in Ecclesiastes, and it tells you that the Most High made man upright, right? So go ahead, read that real quick.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright.
God hath made man upright. He says, this only have I found. So he made us with the ability to do what he commanded us to do, right? And everybody is set in order, right? So the commandments and the statutes were only given to Jacob. They were only given to us. So this confusion of gender, right? This confusion of homosexuality, all right? The scripture says he's made us upright. So when it says we were not born with these understandings, maybe because of the developmental stage of where we're at, I would give credence to that. But it's within you to set yourself up to be a certain way, right?
Well, the second part of that explains what you just said.
Right. Go ahead.
But they have sought out many inventions.
And this is the many inventions, that a man can be a woman can be a man, that homosexuality is okay, that it's you can be whatever you want to be, that we're all one people, right?
So let's bring this to layman's terms, right? So basically, the Most High made a man, and a woman and a woman. But because of the philosophies of this country primarily and the world, okay, we now feel that we're different from what the way the Most High God made us. That's
right.
Layman's terms.
Right. I got to tell you something. This is why you have places like, you know, countries in the Middle East that are so, amongst other reasons, that are so
right.
against America coming in there with their version of democracy. Because behind that democracy comes deconstruction and the desocialization of what they believe in and what they brought up. You don't just get the way that it's governed. You have to get all the ideologies and doctrines that come with it. And that includes homosexuality. That includes transgenderism. That includes a woman surpassing a man.
Mm-hmm. Or guess what? They won't allow you they will not give you stuff. For example, so Iraq wants, and this is not to digress because it's all in the same vein. Iraq wants America out, right? I just saw a video yesterday. They're protesting like crazy. They want America out. So Trump said, okay, we will, but you better pay us back for everything that we gave you. So in other words, you either take our philosophies, okay, that Cap is bringing out, or guess what? We're going to – oh, and they said we're going to put sanctions on them.
Yep. They ain't trying to take the airport that they built.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm talking – this thing is so deep.
It's deep,
I mean,
man.
you can do like dissertations on this. I mean, you can do 30-page papers on
You're
this
right.
stuff.
Yep.
And You're I right. mean, you know, we could sit down and interview people and do. I mean, we could put together a documentary.
A whole documentary, Michael Moore style.
Yep, absolutely. So it says the self is a distinct identity that sets us apart from others. It is not a static phenomenon, but continues to develop and change throughout our lives. Under this present world, it does, and this is why you have what you have at Daniel 9 and 7, right? Mm-hmm. So let's read that real quick, and then I wanna jump into. Article a little bit.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee.
Righteousness belongs to the Most High. The other scripture read in Ecclesiastes said, but they've sought out evil inventions, right? Come on.
But unto us, confusion of faces.
But unto us, confusion of faces. Unto Israel, we have confusion of faces because of the different methods of socialization. One of them being the school system, right? Mm-hmm. So because of the school system, and this is why we're going to title this series Agents of Socialization. That's exactly what it says in the book here. These are agents of socialization, right? Family is one of them. Mm-hmm. We have school as another one, right? Peer groups is another one. Mass media and technology is another one, the workplace, and then religion and state. So we're going to cover each of them over the next, you know, probably several months, because some of these classes, some of these shows will be more than one part as we go through it. And, you know, we kind of touched on family. We'll revisit it in a moment. I'm starting with school systems because of the article. We'll come back to family. When we were going over the effeminization of the black man, right, like toxic masculinity, there was elements heavy. And my focus when we were doing that those radio shows on that was on how that's a method to break down the proper family structure that the scriptures have in store for us. Right. So read this from the top again.
Oh, Lord. Righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces.
Because we're not going by God's program. We're going by what the appropriate behavior for that particular society dictates, right? Come on.
As at this day,
we have confusion of faces. Come on.
To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel.
All Israel is confused. The first confusion is walking around. Well, let's make it real personal. The last name that we have,
right,
which starts to confuse where you descend from and who you are and all the other nonsense. Then it goes to us as a people, and we are identifying ourselves as what Dave called us,
right?
Mexicans, Guatemalans, Peruvians, Jamaicans, right? Yeah. We didn't pick those names for ourselves. Our conquerors did, right? Puerto Ricans, so on and so forth, right? Now it's so bad that it's even gotten to the point where we're confused about if we're a man or a woman.
Mm.
And Lord forbid you speak out about it, it's considered hate speech.
Right.
And Lord forbid your even country, as we go even larger, is not aggressive enough in that. They're going to come and say, well, we'll work with you, but you have laws in the books, you lock people up for being gay, because there's some countries where they'll lock you up for being gay. They'll lock you up for transgender roles and things like that. You got to do away with these things in order for us to come in and work with your government to do certain things. That's what I'm saying. It's not just, hey, let's just come in and let's have this democracy. But now you need to model your laws after our laws as well.
Right.
So they've set this thing up so powerfully, and they've done it in such a way that you're not going to be able to prosper in this present world unless you lie down with that great harlot, like the book of Revelation says, right? Come on, read on.
That are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them.
So through all the countries where we were scattered, it means this is a worldwide phenomenon where our people are confused. Is that it on that verse?
Because of their trespass. That they have trespassed against
and we have to understand the reason we bring these things to light and to understanding is that we have to continue to not be silent and to put this forth, because if not, we will fall prey to these agents of socialization and this becomes the norm, and then you just start to accept it.
Right.
And not because it's a principle for you, but just because they call it when you're dealing with persuasion and persuading people. There's a term for it. I mean, they made me take a whole course on it. It's basically it's not the persuasion of many, but it's basically the thought of many. So this is where they'll do things like 9 out of 10 dentists recommend.
That's called
I know, right? I'm drawing a blank on it. No, I literally still have the books because different jobs that I've had, they've taken
social
courses,
proof.
Right? Social proof, right? And they call it basically so, but you go by the many, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you emphasize
general
that.
Consensus.
So it'll be something as subtle as you'll be there. Let's say you're shopping for a car and you're like, oh, you know, wow, I don't know which interior to get. Well, most people get the black interior.
And then that makes your thoughts.
Oh, most people. Oh, well, so maybe I should do it if most people are doing that.
If they did it,
They did it. Most people are, we've surveyed this many people, and you know, 9 out of 10 people prefer Coke to Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think like, you know, we want to stand on our individuality, but right, because that's the funniness with their argument is that, well, I want to be who I want to be. But no, you're not really being who you want to be. You're being who a society
says
is acceptable.
You're being persuaded
without even realizing that you're being persuaded. And it's interesting because part of the class I'm going to go over today is that challenge that we have as what the Bible calls us as pilgrims in the earth. and being persuaded in our own mind, because you must be persuaded in these last days to be able to understand and accept the promises and what God has in store for us. What are you gonna
say? Simple example, though, what you're talking about, it would be Popeye chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Hey, I got to tell you something. That is a good point, because I've experienced the Popeye's chicken sandwich. And I'm sorry, there's no food on earth that's worth beating people
no
up,
food.
Waiting
no
in line 2 hours for.
Right. No food on earth.
I mean, it's a good sandwich. It's not even like the best sandwich I've ever had.
No, it's
like,
a good sandwich.
It's tasty.
Good.
It's tasty.
It's all right.
It's good. You know, the bread and everything that they use, the way they put everything there.
Yeah, it's tasty. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's not like.
To kill somebody for it?
Yeah.
Or
to be like 2 hours in line for it?
No. That makes me not want to eat it anymore. Because I had to wait a long time.
Oh, listen, all I did was try the regular and the spicy, and I haven't gone back. Like,
right.
it's not that big of a deal.
Right, right. Cap, because there may be some new people watching for the first time. So, if I may, if you don't mind, just focus on the bottom of Daniel 9 and 7 real quick.
What part?
Okay, well, let's read the whole thing real quick, but I want to emphasize in the bottom, the last verse.
The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us, confusion of faces.
All right, so Cap, not to belabor the point, but Cap brought out what that means. Go ahead.
As at this day, to the man of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where thou hast given them, because of their trespass.
All right, so now the main word there is because. All right, because he's saying why we're confused on who we are, what gender we are. Right. Why we have allowed, because some people may say, oh, well, you know, you guys just brought out that it's the society and everything. Yes. But the reason why the Most High has allowed society to confuse us, right, because there's twofold this verse here. OK, is because, go ahead.
Because of their trespass.
So some of you may be new watching this show. OK, you have to understand that at the end of the day, the reason why we are in the situations that we are in as a people is because of our own actions. Okay? We refuse to follow the laws, statutes, and commandments. When you read this Bible, at the end of the day, the Most High always gave us glory, right? He gave us rulership, okay? We're the first fruits, and we've always took it for granted as a people. And trespasses, laws, statutes, and commandments. So like a father has to do, he has to punish us.
Right.
Okay, until we finally get it right, which is the purpose of this show, the purpose of a lot of the shows that IUIC has out there is to educate our people and wake them up. We finish that real quick. I'll give it back to Cap.
Because of the trespass that they have trespassed against thee.
Okay, so Daniel is saying in the spirit, reason why we're the way we are from the beginning of verse 7 is because at the end of the day, we trespass against thee. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry. As you're saying that, you're on point with that. I might have to do this as a whole separate piece when we do the family piece. I never noticed it. They use Rumspringer as an example with the Amish.
With the Amish.
And I was actually reading an interesting stat. I don't want to digress from today's aspect of the socialization, but it says 85 to 90% of Amish children actually return after Rumspringer. So they go, they taste the world, but they actually come back and embrace the but we'll dissect that on another show. We'll dissect that on another show. All right. So let me read a little bit about this article, because we kind of set this up when we did the 45 minute show setting up the Indian schools, but we didn't get enough into the socialization, right? But so I'm gonna kind of do this as a recap a little bit, right? So in this article that I have from NPR.org, it says American Indian boarding schools haunt many. It says for the government, it was a possible solution to the so-called Indian problem. For the tens of thousands of Indians who went to boarding schools, it's largely remembered as a time of abuse and desecration of culture. The government still operates a handful of off-reservation boarding schools, but funding is in decline. So this article was as of 2008. I haven't fact-checked to see if they still operate any. But as recently as 2008, they still had Indian boarding schools.
That's very recent, Cap.
Yeah. Many American Indians are fighting to keep the schools open.
Wow.
Kill the Indian, Save the Man. The late performer and Indian activist Floyd Red Crow Westerman was haunted by his memories of boarding school. As a child, he left his reservation in South Dakota for the Wahpeton Indian Boarding School in North Dakota. 60 years later, he still remembers watching his mother through the window as he left. At first, he thought he was on the bus because his mother didn't want him anymore, but then he noticed she was crying. It was hurting her, too. It was hurting me to see that. I'll never forget all the mothers were crying. Westerman spent the rest of his childhood in boarding schools, far from his family and in his Dakota tribe. He went on to become an actor and activist. All right, so we went over a bunch of this. I had some pictures. I want to just kind of highlight some parts of it, right? So you can see what the sentiment is. And I'm going to tell you, while this sentiment may not be voiced as openly today, in some circles it is, he says, you'll see what the motivation behind this is. He says, he sang about his experiences growing up. He says, this is a line from one of his songs. You put me in your boarding school, made me learn your white man rule, mm-hmm. be a fool. The federal government began sending American Indians to off-reservation boarding schools in the 1870s when the United States was still at war with Indians. An Army officer, Richard Pratt, found the first of these schools. He based it on an education program he had developed in an Indian prison. He described his philosophy in a speech he gave in 1892. A great general has said that the only good Indian is a dead one. In a sense, I agree with the sentiment, but only in this, that all the Indian there is in the race should be dead. Kill the Indian in him and save the man. And this is... this ideology is still there, and it's expanded to us as Israelites, mm-hmm. all right? They don't want you to, right? As like Bishop's been bringing out lately, the First Amendment doesn't apply when you say that you're an Israelite. You can worship whatever religion you want. You can say that you're a man, and you can say that you're a woman, and people got to accept that.
You can say you're an atheist.
Right, right.
And everybody's fine with that.
Everybody's fine with all of that. The transgender one blows my mind the most because they will accept what your anatomy. Like, I don't even have to go through any type of transition surgery. I can just identify as a woman, and you have to respect that.
And I can go into a woman's bathroom.
And Lord forbid you ridicule that. You'll lose your job. You'll lose positions of fame or forefront of whatever it is. You'll be banned from YouTube and all types of other platforms. But the minute you say we are the Israelites and I can actually prove it to you biblically, all types of shutting down happens. Nobody's going to come to bat for you and accept that. Right.
Biblically and scholarly, academically, mm-hmm. that can be proven because mm-hmm. there's no end of books that prove that we're the Israelites.
So you can be what you want to be, so long as it's not, as long as you're not black or Hispanic or Native American and saying you're an Israelite.
Yep.
Right. Well, that just come up
then you're anti-Semitic.
That just showed in Psalm 33.
Right. It's crafty all council. Part of that crafty council.
It's heavy.
I mean, when you first come in and you read that, you're like, wow, all these nations were confederate mm-hmm. against us. Mm-hmm. Wow, they hid our heritage. Mm-hmm. There is so much in that crafty council. Mm-hmm. Right.
Cap, in a short period of time, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
If you think about it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to read some excerpts from here. He says that he remembers when he was 6 years old that the matrons, and we went over this, they bathed him in kerosene. They shaved his head.
Right.
Students at these boarding schools were forbidden to express their culture. Everything from wearing long hair to speaking even a single Indian word.
Right. Right. Mm.
Wright said he lost not only his language, but also his American Indian name. This was socialization to what those members of society wanted as appropriate behavior. It was deemed inappropriate. So appropriate behavior in this society is accept that the imposters that are saying that they are the Jews today, who follow a religion, a bastardized religion, all right, a rudiment of the scripture, okay, meaning not the whole, right, a rudiment of the scripture, because we went over this last week when we were going over the days in the class, how they'll hold the Talmud above the Tanakh,
right?
Right. It says that's their primary book. That's their primary source of their tenets and their religion. And if you try to say that you're the Israelites and they're not, that's anti-Semitic, they say.
Right.
They can exist in their space and be Jewish. Mm-hmm. Nobody's trying to invalidate that. But nobody's just coming to our defense to say, well, you guys really aren't the blood descendants of the Israelites. You're just following a religion.
They're converts. They're converts.
Right.
That's it.
They're converts to Judaism. And it's not even real Judaism.
Not even real Judaism.
Right.
No.
If you really want to get into it. It's become what they've made it based on the Talmud.
To fit them.
To fit them. So we're not trying to stop them from doing what they're doing. We understand, according to the scriptures, what they're doing is not going to get them what they think it's going to get them.
Right.
Right. But when it comes to us, all right, you go ahead and you put that out there. It's unacceptable in today's society. And the school system will push that. Right. Mm-hmm. So he says he remembers coming home and my grandma asked me to talk in Indian to her. And I said, Grandma, I don't understand you. He says, she said, then who are you?
Mm-hmm.
So going back to this self and how strong this identity of self is. Yes. Ecclesiastes tells us that we're born upright. But because of the devices and the evil inventions that they've sought out and created, because of this crafty counsel, it now changes our identity of self to all the different confusion that we were all in prior to us repenting. And this is why it's important that we acknowledge this and realize this, and we have to do our best in the construct of, you know, you can't keep your kids back from school. We're not saying don't have them go and don't be great at whatever those curriculums are. But you have to keep them apart and keep them separate from those aspects of things that's going to socialize them away from this wall. You have something you wanted to bring up?
Yes.
All right. Before you do that, let me read this last quote.
Go ahead.
Language, religion, family structure, economics, the way you make a living, the way you express emotion, everything. The intent was to completely transform them inside and out. That was the motivation of these school systems.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead.
Wisdom of Solomon 14 and verse 22. Fast forwarding to today, right? The school systems have, that's what they did back then in 1492 and so forth. Now today, we accept this without hesitation. Our people accept this and they live in what Solomon's going to say now. Wisdom of Solomon 14, 22. You got that for me? Oh, you want me to read it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Before you read that, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I saw Angel Marie. You know what? You're absolutely right, sister. I understand Indian is a derogatory term. I don't subscribe to that, but it's colloquialism. It's what most people will understand. You know, but really at its source, that's what they were called, right? Indian schools. I mean, we have streets named after it here in Phoenix, Indian school. And in an effort to be respectful, we do often refer to natives as Native American or indigenous.
Right. And even that, right?
Right.
Because
yeah, and even
Native
then,
American.
Because not even American,
right.
But, you know,
right.
Native indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. I'm 100% on board with you.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. It is offensive. I am aware that it's offensive. But my intent is to respectfully offend. Because you need to remember, because by calling them tribal schools, we're falling into their crafty counsel.
Right.
And it sounds like it was a good thing. And by your own by your own later statement, you said your elders lost their language because of these schools. But now that they're allowed to teach them.
Right.
But notice your term. You're allowed.
Mm.
That's your God-given right to do what was yours. Mm. But you have to be allowed to learn that language. Like the scripture says, though I be rude in speech, trust me, we're on the same team and in the same aspect.
No offense.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to respectfully offend
because
the offense doesn't come from us.
Right.
But it comes from the mere fact of what they constructed and what they did. And we need that painful truth, sister. Our brothers and sisters need that painful truth so that we can wake up and do what's expected of us by God.
Right. Just real quick, and the reason why is because she says, okay, so now they're allowed, right, to mm-hmm. teach the language now in the school. But guess what? The majority of our people, okay, and I said when I say our people, I talk about the Native Americans, they've lost their culture. So you could teach the language all you want, but are they teaching your true identity?
True identity,
okay?
Right.
Because guess what? Us as so-called Hispanics, right, we believed for many years that Spanish was our native tongue,
right?
Okay. And they taught us that, and they allow it, right? Bilingual, being bilingual is actually a positive thing, okay? You can actually make more money, supposedly, in the job field and everything. But that still doesn't show us who we really are, okay? So, yes, while they're allowing you to teach it, okay, that's fine, all right, to an extent, all right? And you mentioned here to an extent as well. But at the end of the day, they've already have destroyed us So it's okay for us to learn the language again.
Right.
Because we're already destroyed as a people. Right. All right. And as long as we learn the that's part of the Crafty Council, to learn that language again, which isn't even our true language, right? Because our language is really Hebrew. All right. What they've done is they're like, okay, we'll give them, we'll allow them, using the same words that the sister used, to go ahead and speak again in their tongue. But it don't matter because they still think that they're Indians. Okay. And no offense, again, I'm bringing it up for a reason.
Their inner selves is no longer native, but they're you can speak the native tongue, but what you think, what you say, how you act, how you move, it's American.
Right. Because you allow me to speak Spanish, right?
Yeah.
But are you telling me that I'm a Hebrew?
Mm-mm. Right. Well, it's interesting because it says that as we read the Age of Socialization, it says, we have seen the culture of the United States is defined by rather gradual movements from one stage of socialization to the next. So it's a crafty plan that's set up. It's a gradual. So they don't hit you all at once.
No.
They gradually do this thing to you. And part of that allowance of saying, here, we can teach this language again in these schools, right, is that illusion of inclusion.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
So that they put you in, it's a delusional thing where they want to make you feel like, look, we're giving something back to you. It's a sales tactic.
How dare you give it back to me?
I'm going to tell you something.
How dare you? It's
car sales. It's like when you go and you're fighting for your rate and they'll go, okay, here's what I'm going to do. We'll keep the navigation and I'm not going to charge you for it. And then you're like, oh, this guy has my best interest
that's
in mind.
Exactly,
he's trying to look out for me.
Great analogy, Captain.
And so it's all sales.
Great analogy.
It's all
great
sales.
Great analogy.
And they're trying to sell you on that piece, right? So it says, the continuing and lifelong socialization process involves many different social forces that influence our lives and alter our self-images. We must understand that these systems that are in place, these agents of socialization, are designed to influence and alter our self-images so that we become confused, distraught, disbanded, so that we don't have our bands cast together. It's all part of that casting our bands asunder, right? And we think we're different people and we've gone through different things. It says the family is the most important agent of socialization in the United States, especially for children. I'm going to tell you the family is the most important agent of socialization in general. Mm. Because one of the first things the Most High ordained was marriage.
Right.
Man and woman marriage.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he said, be fruitful and multiply. There's a spirituality to family and the order and how it's set up. The scripture tells you, you can't lead the church of God if your children are not in subjection with all gravity. Mm-hmm. And I said I've been brewing up to do another kids class again on how we raise our kids here because I feel like it needs to – that's another one that constantly needs to be visited,
right.
All right? Because that's real heavy, right? You want to talk about leadership and leading the nation. If your kids are not in subjection with all gravity, you will not be an effective leader. You will have issues in your leadership. So you see the carryover from something as simple as your home life, right?
Mm. Crap, I'm and then how
that moves into the body.
Wait,
right?
I'm going to prove that with what you just read. They separated the children from the parents for that same reason.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. That's the gradual movement of these ages of socialization. They understood family was the most important, but they had to replace that with something. So what they said was, we're going to take them from their family and put them in our school.
Mm. We're the parents now.
Where we're going to kill the Indian but save the man. And it's no different than when we went over to Willie Lynch where they said,
right,
make them grow up physically strong to do what you need to do, but emotionally and spiritually weak.
And mentally weak.
So it says, in this chapter, we'll also discuss six other agents of socialization: the school, the peer group, the mass media and technology, the workplace, religion, and the state. We'll explore the role of religion in socializing young people into society's norms and values more fully. There's a whole chapter on religion. So, you know, my intent is to try to get through as much of this as possible as we continue to go through the series on the shows. But I want to touch on where they talk about school as an agent of socialization, right?
Mm-mm.
So it says school. It says, where did you learn the national anthem? Who taught you about the heroes of the American Revolution? And it's funny, we talk about the heroes of the American Revolution, where I did my show on Thanksgiving. And how basically democracy and Thanksgiving, they've made it a religion. We went over the book Lies My Teacher Told Me,
right,
with the false history and how the leaders are venerated. So it meets certain steps of criteria to deify them where they almost seem supernatural. Right? So what was the guy from the American Revolution that the redcoats are coming?
Damn it.
See, I'm so into the scripture. Like, I don't
know. I forgot. I used to know that.
I tell you,
Paul Revere.
You ask one of the kids out there that's taking American history. They'll tell you right away, Paul Revere.
He was on a horse, which is a stallion.
Right. Right. So it tells you all these different heroes of the American Revolution. Hey, let me tell you, what's that movie with Mel Gibson, The Patriot? Man, that thing will have you feeling like super patriotic, bro. That's a great flick. You know what I'm saying? Make you feel
good,
like,
really,
yeah,
cool.
That's a really good, that's an excellent movie, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you see that thing and you'll be like, yes, freedom,
right,
America.
Right.
So it sets you up that way, right?
And today it's like the Marvel movies. You're like, yes, freedom, liberty, the hell with Thanos. And then you're like, oh, wait.
Wait, the good guy's really the bad guy.
Right. Yeah. Bishop went over a great class with that some months ago. And I often will kind of reinforce that and bring it up. And someone is always the villain, even if you don't believe you're the villain.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
So the Bible, then, like, you have to have a point where you mediate that. So the Bible lets you know who the villains and the heroes are.
Right.
But guess what? In the story of the rulers of this present world, we're the villains.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So who's right? Well, God is.
Yes.
And God
right.
says that we're the heroes, right?
That's right.
So it says, where were you fire tested on your knowledge of your culture?
Yeah.
Like the family, schools have an explicit mandate. The school system has an explicit mandate. It's in the subtlety of words when you set up a charter to start a school to socialize people in the United States, especially children. So what started as these tribal schools, right? Like the sister said, they call them tribal schools now. When they were instituted, they were Indian schools. What started as that evolved into what really became the school system as they saw the influx of freed slaves, as they saw the influx of natives being put into the society at large, as they saw the influx of immigration from Israelite countries, meaning Central South America, as people, they said, we're going to unleash all these people into our society, and we've never put them in a place where they know how to behave appropriately the way we expect them to behave.
Mm.
So they had to start telling us how to run our families. They had to start telling us how to worship their God. They had to start telling us how to receive the information they were giving us through media. They had to start telling us how to go ahead and venerate and continue their story. And the school system is the perfect place for it, because you are obligated by law to send your children to school from this grade to that grade. And they must learn their curriculum.
And the person that's perpetuating all of that has about 9-10 hours possession of your child.
Exactly. Yeah.
5 days a week.
Five days a week.
Hey, Captain. And
that's not including the homework.
That's not including the homework, because that's extra subliminal stuff. Yeah.
And then we are then by workplace, right, because workplace is another agent of socialization, are so caught up in our success and our work and providing for our family,
right,
that when it boils down to it, now they've made it so that you spend the least amount of time with your children and they spend the most.
Yep.
Because what's the babysitter for the children? Technology, the television, and there's messages in there. And we're so tired and focused on our work, and we do it under the guise of that we're doing it to make a better life for them.
But the most important value,
the scripture tells us that we should, in the way, when we sit down with them, when we're walking with them, that you're supposed to educate your children on these scriptures. Is that in Deuteronomy 4? Can you get that for me?
That's a great point. Great points.
Real quick. So what you said about how they have our children for 8 to 10 hours, right? And they're deep, because a child will not buck up against a teacher. A child will not go against what they're being taught, right? I'm going to read this real quick, Captain. Matthew 18 and verse 3. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself, because that's what a child does, they humble themselves. A child is not going to say, no, don't teach me that. They're going to humble themselves, right? himself as a little child, the same shall be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So going back to this perspective of the school, the teacher, Esau, the school system, and the children, they know that a kid, a child is going to humble themselves and feed them all this garbage in their brain. And that's why Christ says, we got to be born again. We got to change our mind.
Right, right. Absolutely. And that's heavy because, right, we're giving the headache by showing all of this. Mm. But then it's important that we talk about the solutions as well. So all praises that you bring that out. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to finish this last piece here. And then we can do some closing thoughts before we move on to the next show. So as conflict theorists Samuel Bowles and Herbert Gonitis have observed, schools in this country foster competition through built-in systems of reward and punishment, such as grades and evaluations by teachers. Consequently, a child who is experiencing difficulty trying to learn a new skill can sometimes come to feel stupid and unsuccessful. However, as the self matures, children become capable of increasingly realistic assessments of their intellectual, physical, and social abilities. So it's letting you know that it starts to put a spirit of variance in them from a very young age. Mm-hmm. And what that then fosters is not unity, but disunity, right? And that sense of community amongst each other, because that's a big thing with us, right? Mm. Especially amongst our people with this competitiveness that we have, right?
We don't know unity.
Right. We don't know unity right. Because we've been socialized away from that.
And even within a gathering, a organization, right, there's still individualism in that. You'll have Spanish or Hispanic groups.
Yes.
And they're still, you know.
Right. So it says schools, as agents of socialization, fulfill the function of teaching children the values and customs of the larger society. So you have to understand what you're sending them into. And you must do so because we must obey the laws of the land. You must send these children into the school system and do that. But it's even more important that we're able to then understand this in Deuteronomy. So bring this out about teaching our children. You have that?
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligence into their children.
The diligent that it's talking about, the them that it's talking about, is these laws, statutes, and commandments, our true heritage as Israelites. It says we must teach them diligently, and even more so because of the agents of socialization that are present in this present world in these last days. That level of diligence needs to have a sense of urgency with it as well. Come on.
And shall talk of them when they're sitting in the house.
So it says the way you do that, right? Because Bishop Nathaniel did a great class, time management in 8 hours, and you're only given the amount of time that you have. But this is why it's so much more important that you're able to manage and function within the time that's allotted to you, especially when you're with them, right? So it says that when you're read that part again.
Thou shalt talk of them when they're sitting in the house.
So it says, thou shalt talk of these commandments. It doesn't mean you should try to find time where you open the Bible with your children, but it says you should talk of them when thou sitteth in the house. So when we're home, every interaction you have with them is an opportunity to reinforce these laws, statutes, and commandments, right? Come on.
And when thou walk by the ways.
And when thou walk by the ways, I'll talk to my daughter about things when I'm taking her to school, or if I take them with me to the store, or I'm dropping them somewhere, whatever it is, right? When thou walk by the ways, come on.
And when they lay down, and when they rise up.
And when they lay down, when you put them to bed, that should be the last thought you give them. When they rise up, it should be the first thought you give them. When I take my daughter off through those doors to school every day, hey, baby, remember, you're an Israelite. Mm-hmm. God loves you, and it's because you keep his laws, all right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, yes, thank you, daddy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's the best I can do, right? Obviously, there's a measure there where it's up to the Most High and she orders her steps. But we must constantly reinforce and try to counter-program the negative things that they're teaching them through these agents of socialization, which of one is the school system. Lord's will, next week, we'll finish up with the school piece. And we can start moving into peer group and family. And the thing is, these agents of socialization, They're not mutually exclusive. They're actually all mutually exclusive. They're all synergistic. Mm. They all function together, right? And that's how they function best. So you'll see that as we continue through the show.
I like what you said, counterweight what we get taught, right? That's why the scripture says we don't fight against flesh, but it's a spiritual war.
Yeah, yeah. Try to remember that one so you can throw it to us next week, right? We got to bring that out. Spiritual wickedness in high places,
in high
principalities.
Places.
And that's what this is showing here. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, bring out a preset real quick with that one. Give me Sirach 30 and 3 because you have to look at the reason why we need to do what Deuteronomy 6, 7, there's many reasons, okay? But here's a very important reason.
Mm.
Okay, go ahead.
The book of Sirach, chapter 30, verse 3. He that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy.
Why? Because now through your education of knowing who you are, that you are an Israelite man and woman, and that you're God's chosen, you're a special person, okay, special people unto the Lord, you could now set yourself aright and start making your calling and election sure and making sure that you truly get the kingdom of heaven because you're an Israelite first and foremost and because that's what the Bible says. So in addition to that, it grieveth the enemy because their craftiness, everything that Cap brought out, that we brought out in the radio show today, will not succeed.
Right.
That's why give me Job 4 real quick. So these all go in hand. Daniel 7, Deuteronomy 6 and 7, Sirach 30 and 3, and Job 4, the vices of the crafty.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 12.
Because after doing all of this, starting from Deuteronomy 6 and 7 to Sirach 30 and 3, this is what's going to end up happening.
He disappointed the devices of the crafty.
Going ahead and saying that you can now teach your language is a device of craftiness.
Mm.
Going ahead and instilling, and again, this is no knock on the sister at all. This is love and this is education. Saying, well, no, it's tribal, not yes, we know all of that.
Okay, oh, yeah, no, she said it. She
yeah,
said,
no, 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 I see that. Yeah, right. Yeah, but I just want, because in case somebody else came in late. Right, but guess what? At the end of the day, guess what we teach? What the Bible teaches us, that you're from the tribe of Gad, sister.
That's right.
That you're an Israelite from the tribe of Gad. That the brother over here is an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. That the brother over here is an Israelite from the tribe of Issachar. That Captain and myself are Israelites from the tribe of Ephraim. Okay, go ahead.
He disappointed the devices of the crafty.
Go ahead.
So that their hands cannot perform their enterprise.
And this is why the hands will not perform their enterprise as long as you as a father, as a mother, if you're a single mom, continue to, like it says here in Deuteronomy 6 and 7, day and night when they wake up and when they go to sleep, you have to indoctrinate them with their true facts of the Bible because they're being brainwashed for 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, like Cat brought out.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I'll just point it out. He said between elementary, middle, and high school is 19,000 hours of training.
Oh, my God. 19,000
so,
hours.
So we have to counteract 19,000 hours of training on him, you know? So
in a couple hours a day.
Yeah. Hey, it's funny, too. I got my little Bible verse that popped up. It's Proverbs 19:21. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart.
Damn.
Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
That's right.
You have all those hours, even though you have all this, fear not. The counsel of the Lord shall stand if we teach it, if we apply it.
That's right.
All right.
Right.
All right. That's the show for this week. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
I forgot. We'll have to air on that. You need to start putting in print
the statement.
The statement. We're not a hate group, whatever. So when the show starts.
Yeah.
You know how we have the logo up there? Yeah. You should put up that note.
Are we still on?
No, we should be off. We were off on a blog talk. So.
In fact, what we should do, Cap, is what you guys are here setting up, that should already be on the screen while they're
waiting. Okay. While they're waiting.
Instead of seeing that, that needs to be on there.
Yeah.
Leviticus 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, the disclaimer.
Yeah. Like, if there's a way to just mute the audio so they don't hear us talking and just put that on the screen, then that should be on the screen each time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ben. You see, it took a brother coming from another country. Tell us.
That's all we get. One body.
Right.
All right. Well, we got to do the recap.
Yeah, also, look, make sure that everybody's seen it.
Okay. All right.
I didn't realize I was all the way there.
Back in the recap.
You got a recap? Oh, I forgot. You got the good book.
Yeah,
you got the good book.
Yeah.
The good book.
Yeah.
I have to move it off.
to do the wire.
Hey, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, the Lost 144K. This week's episode, we went into part two of Agents of Socialization, dealing with the Indian schools and the school system at large and how it progressed from that method and how that's integrated into the way the school system is run today. It's an explicit mandate that school systems socialize our children to function the way the United States wants them to function, all right? Indoctrinating them with different things. So it's not just their basic maths and sciences that they're getting when they go to school. The whole system is designed and set up to essentially keep them away from God's laws, statutes, and commandments, all right? So make sure that you watch the show and share. We uncover and unveil some of this. We're going to continue to cover this topic about agents of socialization so that we may understand that we are fighting spiritual powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, all right? With that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Let me check your order, brother.
I wasn't recording.
Oh, you want to
the highest views.
I don't have the power.
Yeah, we wound up getting a bunch.
Yeah, 28 at one time.
It's the titles are usually high.
Yep.
You're going to get them to tune in, you know?
You had a guess.
Yeah. You know, and it's great. We always get, you know, our support from our fans that are Israelites repenting, but that we're reaching people like that, that's pretty profound. She jumping on there just because of the title. It called out to her.
Yep. Yep.
11th hour. I mean,
yeah, a friend of a friend was watching, and you know, you got to use that technology to our advantage for as long as we can.
Yes, sir.
To transcribe my notes. I don't think I'm going to be able to.
Thank you.
It's your new moon goblin, bruh. Haha, I told you.
Got it for
me. Such an innovative use of social networks. I told you I was getting into a surprise. Remember? I just had to wait. I can't tell you. Brother, you looking like a warrior. Her words, you know, when her were like kids.
Email mine to you.
Telegram, can you telegram?
How you want to do it? Just
copy and paste it.
Copy and paste.
No, hold the whole thing. Yes.
Select
all, copy, and then just send it to me.
Telegram. Are you going to print from Telegram?
I'm going to like all the nominations and like
order. Write them on it. You fucking write. Just keep that. Okay. If it's on paper, don't.
Okay. Because
you ain't gonna have time. He's
oh,
like right now.
Gotcha. Okay.
So whenever you want me to send it, if you want me to copy and paste it to an email, I'll do it.
Okay, email. Do it to joshua.jharley.
This nigga email?
Yeah. Because we use that for everything.
All right. And tell them to push in the subject line. Like their name and their rank and get sister nominations. So that way you ain't got to be fucking sister all shit. I told them to see you
okay.
Before they print it, so they shouldn't be just doing shit by themselves.
Excuse me, sir.